News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 5th of March, Anno Domini 2006. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use. We're going to have some real interesting things. Before we get to the phones, and please give us a call. Before we get to the phones, we have a slightly reduced show today.
Yes, modified.
A couple of things. We have a slightly reduced show today. We're 1 hour long because Syracuse basketball is coming up at noon. We have Dan Cole in today. Very exciting. We have Dan Cole in instead of Rob Linton. Rob is apparently one of the lead dogs in the Iditarod, which starts today.
No, he abandoned us for yesterday. To do all the shows.
Yeah, he worked hard yesterday, and he's probably still asleep. But I think I prefer to think of him as one of the lead dogs in the Iditarod. Starts today.
Wait, I got to tell you, as I do all the squirrel mail.
Yes.
Guess what we got coming?
What?
From California.
Sunshine?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Better.
Ooh. It's got to go some now to beat that.
Food.
Food?
Yes. A woman emailed me in the squirrel mail account. And asked us, because we hadn't asked for any lately,
yeah.
if we would like some cookies.
Yes.
And I said, heck yeah. And so she is going to send us some cookies because evidently we've helped her out so much.
How very
and a
sweet.
Number of her computer questions, I answered them, and she loves listening to the show. So she's going to feed us.
How very sweet. Thank you. We can be bribed. I think everybody needs to know that ahead of time. We can be bribed.
That's been the the case all along. If you want your computer fixed faster, pizza,
beer, whatever it takes. Before we get to the phones, we'll talk a little bit about an interesting report from Homeland Security. A U.S. government-sponsored report claims to have delivered the first reliable guide into judging the safety and reliability of open-source software. The report, which is backed by the Department of Homeland Security, evaluated 31 popular open source packages, searching for defects that would cause hard crashes, problems that leave users open to backdoors or cause downtime. Now, as we all know, the most popular open source stack is called LAMP, Linux, Apache, MySQL, and then the P can stand for PHP, Perl, Python, whatever. They gave that stack a healthy rating. LAMP shows significantly better software quality above the report's baseline, with an average of only 0.32 defects per 1,000 lines of code. 0.32, less than half a percent. Less than a third of a percent.
Yeah. And it was millions and millions of lines of code they analyzed.
Right. It was a $1.24 million 3-year study. Of course, all they really had to do is go online and ask a bunch of people, but I suppose they needed to do more than that. So those of you who have been hesitating about trying open source software, the Department of Homeland Security says it's great stuff. We're going to go to the phones now, and our first caller is Richard from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
Yeah, I've got an HP notebook with a 15-inch screen, and somehow I have made it so that the screen is larger, and my icons, my border icons, are outside my viewing area.
Yes, that can happen. What you do is, on anywhere on the background itself, not on an icon or anything, if you click on the background, you get a drop-down menu.
Right-click.
And you select right-click, exactly, I apologize, and select Properties, which is the bottom choice.
Right.
And then go to Settings.
And then go to the Settings area, and you can set the resolution of the screen, for example, 1024 by 768.
All right.
Then you have to click the advanced button.
All right.
And check to see how you set your monitor to do the same. Everyone's just a little bit different, but generally there's a monitor tab that lets you actually set the properties on that.
if you move your cursor to the edge of the screen, does the screen scroll on you to show you where your icons are?
Yes.
Then you're looking for a setting called virtual desktop.
Yeah.
So what's happened is you've told your computer you have a 20-inch monitor, and your 15-inch screen is showing you a 15-inch piece of that 20-inch monitor and let you scroll around it.
Yep.
So some display settings call that virtual desktop. Some call it a scrolling desktop.
Right. Unfortunately, without having it in front of us, we can't tell you which one that is.
Yeah.
But that's the basic problem. Somewhere along the line, some setting got set that said my monitor is bigger than my screen size is bigger than my monitor, and that's what you're looking to fix.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, good
Speaking
luck.
Of laptop
displays.
Well,
it was very common in the early days of 12- and 13-inch monitors, so you could tell it you had a bigger monitor and scroll around.
Right.
I had a laptop in this past week. It was driving me nuts. Because
that's more of a short putt than a drive.
Annoying. Well, you open it up, and sometimes it would boot up, and other times it wouldn't. But I could hear everything going. If I put an external display on it, it booted up great.
Yeah, that's a big problem with laptops is there's wires running through the hinge to get from the computer to the screen.
Right.
And so many years of opening and in fact, sometimes, you know, so many days of opening and closing the screen, those little wires fray.
No, you know what this was? You know, on a lot of laptops, when you go to close the lid down, there's that little button.
Oh, I hate that little button.
That pushes up, little pin.
I hate that pin.
To tell the laptop it's closed so it runs the external.
So that little laptop latch, I noticed, wait a minute, it's on an angle. I pulled it up, and sure enough, you can see where this little pin was pushing down, so it was sensing it was only halfway. So it was like thinking that, oh, the display is not being used, go to the external monitor.
Because a lot of times you want to run your laptop screen closed because you have a bigger screen
so
on the outside.
So once I took that pin out, which is worthless anyways, everything works great.
Nice.
But it took me a while trying to find that.
And every laptop is different.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Isn't that the toughest part? Our next caller is Jim, also from Rochester, New York. Jim, what's your question?
Okay, I switched from Norton antivirus. I went up to the next 2006 to Norton Internet Security.
My sympathy for you.
Why? Well, all these yellow boxes pop up. They're scanning my outgoing email and incoming.
Yeah.
And I've checked every box. I've talked with the customer service people, and it still doesn't go away.
What you have to do is...
Wait, the box doesn't go away, or you can't stop scanning?
It doesn't. It'll just continue to scan. At one point, I had 168 scans on the screen.
All right.
Wow.
One thing, though. Did you go in? Did they have you go into Norton under options and then under email?
Yes, I've done that.
You unchecked both the ingoing or the incoming, or I mean the outgoing?
Yes, I've done that.
And that's still doing it? What version of Windows are you running?
XP.
And it's Service Pack 1 or 2?
As far as I know, Service Pack 2.
Well, this clearly is a problem with Norton Internet Security. If it starts a scan and never stops it...
Well, like today I was on it and no scans. I could go back on right now and turn it on, and something starts those scans, and the yellow boxes pop up, and you get this some kind of an error message or something. Can't send the email because of all kinds of messages.
Norton's not done scanning, so it won't send the email.
Right, and it never finishes scanning, so you end up with hundreds of scans on the screen and no mail sent.
The thing of it is,
not sending mail. That's the other strange thing.
But it still checks.
Your computer is sending mail.
Yeah.
So you may have a virus
or
trying to send mail.
Have you run SpyBot Nataware?
Oh, yeah. I do that regularly.
Okay, good. Because sounds like something else is in there. And like Steve was saying, though.
Well, why didn't it do it when I had antivirus from 2005? I had it once, and I called you guys, and you told me uncheck those boxes, and it worked fine. I never had a problem again.
This is
Norton Internet Security is not...
Six is not the best product.
Six is not the best product, but Norton Internet Security does have some serious problems on many.
It's over aggressive.
I'm trying to be polite about this.
It's very, very aggressive.
Mm. It's crap.
Crap.
So if I go back and say, give me just Norton antivirus.
Yes, try doing that. Now, if you need, if you're looking for the security protection, do like we suggest, unload that particular firewall. Just use the antivirus. And go for a zone alarm.
Mm-hmm. I was using that before.
All right, well, go back
and
to
what
it.
And what made you unhappy with it?
I just, for some reason, I picked that box up and bought it and thought, well, a little more protection, blah, blah, blah.
Well, clearly that was not your best purchasing decision of
like
the week.
Like I say, we have had many issues with
the biggest thing is it tries to do too much. It does so many things.
Exactly.
It bogs your computer down anyway, and if any one of those so many things doesn't work right, you're really messed up.
Well, this is the battle of, you know, you've got more or less two companies thinking they know what's best for you to do.
Yep.
Microsoft and now Norton.
Mm-hmm. Well, at any rate, Jim, our suggestion is go back to what you had before that worked.
Right.
You know, it's the old joke, doctor, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, well, don't do this.
Right.
So that's probably your best bet at this point.
Yep.
Okie doke.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Bye-bye. Our next caller is not going to be talked to for another couple of minutes because we have some of those little economic dramas to go to. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about Apple. They have a security patch out, and if you're an Apple user and you're not running it, you should be. We have spam skiers. We have all kinds of interesting things. And we're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Dan Cole, who is, I have to tell you, doing a magnificent job back there. We're very impressed by that. You'll have me, Nick Francesco. We're going to talk about all kinds of interesting things. Remember, we have a slightly shortened show today. We all want to get out and cheer on Rob, who's running in the Iditarod. That's important to us. I'm just going to keep saying Iditarod until somebody laughs. Okay, it's going to be a while. Let's see how that works. All right, listen.
I'm laughing at you. Think somebody's going to laugh.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Is he driving
right
or is he running?
As I said, he's the lead dog. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And this is Sound Bites. Now, before we get back to the phones, got a couple of interesting things to talk about. First, you Mac people, there are patches out for all those Mac OS flaws that you've been poo-pooing. Apparently, Apple thinks enough of them to have issued a security patch, Security 2006-001. You can download and install it via the software update feature in Mac OS X, or you can get it from Apple Downloads.
Should also mention the almost non-event this week. Apple had issued a big press announcement last week. They were going to have this fun, cool event on Tuesday, last Tuesday. and we're all expecting these great new products and the DVR, you know, Apple-branded DVR built into a Mac Mini. All it was is a new Mac Mini based on the Intel processor. They did add the front row to it, but no DVR, no television built in. They also released a $100 iPod case for $100.
Meskia.
But it's leather.
Ooh. Ooh.
And they released a $350 speaker for the iPod.
Okay.
What is it? Stereo?
Well, it's a stereo speaker.
What does it do? Your dishes?
Well, it's a home stereo. Use your iPod as your home stereo. And what all the analysts have been saying this week is that there's several thousand companies making iPod accessories. There's a dozen companies making high-end home stereo kits. Bose has a $300 kit. Klipsch has a $250 kit.
Right.
All these speaker names we've never heard of before because they've been pro audio.
Right.
And then there's leather iPod cases for $30-$40. So a lot of the industry people are saying, you know, what's Apple doing? You know, it's that fine line between, you know, innovating your own products and really making your third-party developers mad.
Right.
And so now they're tromping on some of these third-party developers that may make them not want to release iPod stuff, because if Apple's going to come along, a lot of people will just buy the Apple brand, and they're in an Apple store. Apple's going to push the Apple brand. So
right.
Who knows what the third parties are going to do now. So it was almost a non-event, and there's a lot of cartoons on the different sites this week where post-traumatic non-event disorder.
Yeah, right.
You're expecting something cool and fun, and it was just a mini. You know, granted, it's a Mac Mini on the Intel processor with more RAM, bigger hard drive, faster machine.
It needs it. I've got a Mac Mini, and it's hesitant.
Well, one of the issues that a lot of people almost often mistake is the Mac Mini is Apple's cheapest computer. At 500,
I'm not saying that. I get that. I understand what I paid for it and what I got. Get that.
So that's been one of the issues, is that they buy a $500 computer and expect it to act like a high-end.
Well, but that's true everywhere. You buy, you want it to be. We're going to find, oh, man, I got to say, I think Microsoft is in huge trouble. When Vista comes out, one of the things they're touting is this new Aero Glass front end, which they basically stole from Sun, but we won't go there. Well, there's been a Sun demo of that for 2 years. Okay, never mind.
Yep.
Anyway, the point is, if you don't have a really high-end video card, you got nothing. You're just not going to get it. And
PCI
so consequently,
Express, you're going to need the new PCI Express
with a
Express
minimum
slot.
Of 256 meg of RAM and a whole bunch of other things. So
Giga
all
memory.
The mid to low-end machines just aren't going to be able to run it. And Apple's going to have. And so the point is, what do you get out of Vista that you don't already have? Except needing to buy more hardware. Well, we'll talk about that when Vista actually hits the streets. In the meantime, we are going to take another break. When we come back, we've got some folks on the line, Scott and Bill and Preston, and we're going to talk about skiing for spam, and we'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on what truly is the greatest computer show in the known universe. Oh, Rob Jason's in. He's going to do the news on Soundbites. On 1180 WHAM.
Thanks.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Scott from Chi Line, New York. Welcome, Scott. What's your question?
Yeah, I've got a Sony Vaio running Windows XP, don't know what service pack.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple problems with it. I was running AOL, and I went back to my other internet provider. So I actually went into the control panel, did the uninstall of AOL, instead of just deleting it. And now I'm getting a Win32 error. Whenever I start up the computer, I get that nice blue screen check, running the scan disk.
Yeah.
It goes through about a minute of that, and then it says all my temporary files are cross-referenced, and then it gives me a kernel file that it's reading it, and then it just freezes right out. I got to turn off the computer and then skip the scan disk.
Scott, how old is this machine?
Oh, I don't know. It's a Sony Vaio. It's probably 3 years old.
You might want to have it check the hard drive.
You think the hard drive?
You could have a hard drive that's developing bad sectors.
And a defrag won't pick that up?
Well, a defrag can't fix that.
Tell you what, one thing you can do is add a C. If you go to start, go to run, and you type CMD, command.
Yeah.
And then once you get into that DOS window, type check disk, that's CHKDSK, space, C colon, space, /R.
So it's just like the old MS-DOS setup.
Right, oh.
Yeah, and it'll ask you to do a repair when it reboots.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead and reboot. And what it's going to do is do a check disk on that hard drive, and you'll see whether it finds any bad sectors.
And check disk could take hours.
Yeah.
All right. Also, when I'm getting the Win32 error, it also, deletes or deactivates my volume. Like, I right-click on the volume to turn it up, and it says
that's a second part of the same kind of...
Yeah, you might have a hard drive going on you. I'd first run that test, and like I say, you'll be able to see right on the screen while it's doing it. If it's going to go through, five different tests.
Would it be the hard drive if, when I'm playing a game, the sound works in the game, but when I try to play a CD or I try to... use Windows sound.
Well, it's certainly some kind of hardware error,
yes. If it's trying to cache it to the hard drive, yes.
And if the driver's in a bad spot on the hard drive, it can't load it.
Right. We can't. I mean, you could. Any millions of problems you have could all be related to this hard drive.
Check that out, though, Scott.
Shouldn't I?
Pardon?
Should probably take it to somebody, though, shouldn't I?
Well, if you want to bring it in, we do a diagnostic for $30 plus tax.
That's not bad.
All right.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate that. Our next caller... Bill from Honey Eye Falls, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Well, I've got two quickies. First of all, I'm going to make your day. My motherboard on my 6-year-old Dell fried itself, and ME is now gone.
Yay!
But here I am sitting with XP and a brand new Dell, and I put in Mozilla with Thunderbird and Firefox.
Yep. Okay? Yay!
And I'm on Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Now, you know, Mozilla and Firefox, they, Thunderbird, have got their own security protection. Roadrunner's got its own.
Right.
This thing came with McAfee. I mean, how much should I get rid of McAfee?
Well, there's all types of different protection. The you need an antivirus, which would be McAfee or the stuff from Roadrunner.
But the thing
you need
is
a firewall, which would be Zone Alarm or the stuff from Roadrunner.
Or Easy Armor.
Or Easy Armor from, Armor from Roadrunner. You need anti-spam, which comes in Thunderbird.
And I also have Stinger Adware and SpyBot.
And those are anti-spyware, so you need all of those.
Bill, though, the McAfee that came with your system, 10-to-1 odds, that's only a 30-day or a 60-day trial period.
I think it's a 1 year, but I'm not sure.
It'd be different if they added that, because normally
here's the basic idea. You need one antivirus program.
Yep.
You need one firewall.
Yep.
You need both SpyBot and Adware and Stinger. See, if you go to the Security Tango at securitytango.com.
I've done that.
And take a look at all of that. It recommends you run Stinger and SpyBot and Adware and all that stuff, CW Shredder. And then you make sure you put on one antivirus program and one firewall.
All right.
So that's the deal. You need one of each of those. If you have more than one of those last two, they can fight each other. And certainly they're taking up CPU cycles you don't need to have them take up.
Yeah,
that was the concern.
So the hard decision is which one do you use?
Right.
Well, and he has many choices. Yeah. He's got McAfee free for a year. Easy Armor is free as long as he keeps Roadrunner. Go free.
Yeah.
All right. Quick question here.
Yeah.
Temp files.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to get rid of them automatically?
Sure, Dave. There's a tip on automatically.
Not automatically.
You don't want to get rid of them automatically.
Well,
because if there's a system crash and you, let's say you're writing in Word, and there's a system crash and it restarts. If there's no temp files, there's no recovery.
So I'm better off in a manual mode.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
there's also lots of different types of temp files. Yeah, your Word temp files, your Internet temp files, your system temp files. So the disk cleanup wizard built into Windows, you can have it run every X days and it will clean them out for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, you can do that sort of in an automatic way.
Yep. All right. Our next caller is Preston from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Preston. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You good, and you?
I'm all right, hanging in there.
Good.
Hey, listen, I use Norton's Internet Security as my primary source for protection.
Yeah.
And when I run SpyBot, it says Windows Security Center firewall disable notify is a problem. Is that because the Windows firewall is turned off?
Yep.
So that the Norton's can do its thing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
And what SpyBot is saying is that, I see your Windows firewall security is turned off.
You might want to check into that.
You might want to check into that. In your particular case, you can now say, who cares?
Because I'm running the Norton's firewall.
Exactly.
I mean, who cares if the Windows firewall is turned off? Because Norton's is my primary source.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah, that's what you want.
One more quick question.
Yeah.
How do I scratched my LCD screen on my computer. Actually, my kid did.
Ouch. Yeah.
All right, and it's not that bad. There's nothing I can do about it. It's ruined for life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Depending on how deep the scratch is, there are some products that claim to be able to repair scratches on screens.
What is that?
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, there's a company called iCleaner that sells scratch remover and polish remover for iPods and laptops.
But you got to be careful because you start pushing, especially on a monitor.
Yeah, on a laptop, you can push too hard. You have to push hard enough to fill the scratch in, but not too hard to pop the LCD.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's not,
And replacing a laptop LCD panel can be anywhere from $400 to $800.
In other words, it's better off getting a new screen.
A new screen, and then get those screen protector thingies.
It's a reason to upgrade and get a larger screen.
Perfect. Blame your kid. There you go. You win. Congratulations, Preston.
All right.
Thanks, Preston.
Honey, I got to get a new monitor. Soundbites told me so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, blame us. We have broad shoulders. We don't really care. That is something that's important to recognize. As more and more people are getting LCD monitors and more people are buying laptops, they are easily scratched.
When we come back, though, I got to tell you a story, though, about monitors and kids.
All right. I'd love to hear it. But they are easily scratched, and people put their hands on the monitor all the time, pointing at stuff on the screen. you got to be real careful what you clean those with. They do make cleaner kits. Make sure you use the soft cloth and all that other stuff. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, and me, Nick Francesco, we'll get a monitor story from Dave. We've still got the skiing for spam story. We got to talk about what goes on our website, soundbites.org. We've got people on the line, Brian and Mike and Barry, and it's just going to be exciting on the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you miss, it's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Before we get back to the phones, Dave's been chomping at the bit, and that's an ugly sight, so we need to let him talk.
Going back to the monitors, we were talking about how you come up with different stories, and that sometime we should do a book.
We should.
I had a client got a brand new, back then it was a Gateway. Mm-hmm. Got a brand new Gateway. His wife got it for him for his birthday, and he was coming home from a business trip, and the son had those magnetic, little letters.
Yeah, yeah.
And she had it turned on and all that. Had those magnetic letters taped to the monitor. Happy birthday, Daddy.
Yep.
So,
brand
new Gateway computer at the time. She was so happy because she got it for him, surprised him, got it in. It came in time to surprise him. And the son had taped Happy Birthday, Daddy, turned it on, and that image was burnt into the display.
Yeah, magnets can really mess up a CRT.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, talk about, is there anything I can do for it? Yeah, buy a new monitor.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
But it's brand new.
Try to degauss it a few hundred times.
Well, yeah, you can always try. It can't hurt. Yeah. See that little degauss button? It's your new friend.
Well, I got it. I'll tell you one thing, though. She did call me back later. She called the company and told them what happened and yada, yada, yada. They did replace the monitor for her, though.
God bless them. Yeah. That's a nice thing.
How long ago was this?
Yeah, right.
This was a good, I'd say, 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Brian from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, Nick, you're kind of familiar with this one.
Here we go.
Have a Dell that we bought as a second machine and put a wireless network on it, and the wireless worked fine. It was great. And all of a sudden stopped. It would not connect to the network. And I rebooted it and I redid the uninstalled it and reinstalled it and all like that. And nothing would make the network respond. Bought a new antenna. That didn't work. So I called Dell and they say, well, you have to reset the entire machine to its original.
Oh, they always say.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. So there were just a few files on there that I really did not want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I went out and I bought a verbatim zip disk.
Sure.
USB disk. Put that in the back of the machine, moved the files, and bingo, the network came back up.
Good. Now immediately make a copy of those files to your other machine.
Yeah, well, okay. Left it on to see what would happen, and all of a sudden, boom, it dropped out and won't come back. I turned the machine off, reboot it, network's back. It stayed there for a while, then boom, dropped out. It was gone again.
Try this. Something I discovered just recently. If you go into the start button and administrative tools something else. Hold on.
That's a lot of help.
Thank you. Administrative tools, component services. You'll see down the left-hand side a set of things, and the bottom one is services local. And one of the choices, way down at the bottom of the list, is the wireless zero configuration. Try turning that off, and then give your machine a static IP address. One of the things that we're finding is that while this works well in a lot of different systems, in XP and particularly with Service Pack 2, it's become something of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So try that. But now you have to give your machine a step. In fact, before you do that, on the wireless machine, on the wireless router, make sure it has an SSID, service set identification. Often they're set to default. That's fine. But sometimes they're set to blank, and that's what's causing all the trouble. Windows, if it doesn't find an SSID, gets very, very confused. So try that first, actually. Try setting, because that's a simple fix. Try setting an SSID and see if that helps keep it up.
That's on the primary machine.
That's on the router. That's on whatever's giving you your wireless signal.
You got to log into the router.
And it may be it may be the antenna on the router or the antenna on your computer.
Well, but it keeps coming back. That's where the problem lies.
A 2.4 gigahertz telephone in between them.
That could be.
That could be microwave oven in between them.
Or the neighborhood that he's in.
Yeah.
Plumbing or whatever going through the walls.
There is a phone line that runs between the two, but it's not used.
Well, that doesn't mean.
Well, it's not the phone line. It's some of the portable phones, the cordless phones, operate on the 2.4 gigahertz band and interfere
it's
with
a corded phone.
Yeah. Some microwave ovens can interfere with. As a test, put the computer next to the router and see if everything works fine.
Right.
If it does, then it's
or invite me for over for dinner, and I'll bring my Linux laptop because they don't have that problem.
Yeah, it's a reception.
Try that first. Make sure it's got an SSID.
Okay.
And make sure that that's actually set to something other than blank, because that causes this problem a lot.
Okay. And the other question is on the primary machine. I dropped my hard drive with my boot partition.
Yeah.
And brought it back, and it will not let me set up Eudora as the primary mail thing. It will only recognize Outlook Express. Any ideas there?
Are you logged on as administrator?
Yeah.
Wrong answer.
Well, that was the wrong answer.
I'm sorry.
I tried again. Are you logged on as administrator?
Yeah.
Doggone it!
What happens when you try to set...
Two times in a row!
What happens when you try to set Eudora as the default mail reader?
It lets you go through it, and you answer all the questions the way you want it to be set up, and then when you try and open Eudora, it's not connected.
Not connected to what?
It won't go out and find my mail.
That's a completely different
issue.
Yeah.
What is your... you're on Roadrunner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely need to invite me over.
Yeah, setting the default mail reader has nothing to do with an
email
program
that's a separate problem, and I'm going to need to look at that.
Okay, fine.
The good news is I get a free dinner.
There you go.
And
bring us dessert.
Great talk with a good friend. So that'll work out.
Bring us dessert.
We'll bring you guys dessert. Back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Dan Cole, me, Nick Francesco. I've got to talk about what's going on the website. I haven't done that yet, and I need to do that. We keep teasing people with this whole spam king thing.
We also got
people on the line. It's just, it's all running away from us. But that's okay. We've got stuff we need to do and stuff we need to talk about, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. In the meantime, we've got some important little economic dramas for you to listen to. Dan is laughing. He likes the term economic dramas. And whatever it takes to make Dan laugh, I'll do it. We're back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites. On 1180 WHAM.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dan Cole.
And this is Soundbites. One last thing for Brian to try. Make sure all your periods are periods and not commas. When you're setting that stuff up, man, I've seen
that. There's no extra spaces.
Or in
so
spelling.
Many times, in spelling. Well, particularly with Brian, that could be a problem. Listen, I got to talk about what goes on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week, 337 of you voted, making it number 92 on the all-time hit list. Their favorite way of keeping in touch was email by 38%, followed by my favorite choice, don't call me. I'll call you. The Macintosh is hanging steady with 8 votes. This week, we're talking about online music. There was a thing in the paper this week. The United States Justice Department has launched an official inquiry into possible price fixing in the online music industry. Steve Jobs has been under a lot of pressure to raise his digital download prices and to set separate prices under separate circumstances. for different songs or for different ways you download or whatever. He's holding firm at 99 cents a song no matter what. So the question is, do you think online music is priced fairly? The choices are absolutely only on iTunes. Music should be free. And the Macintosh. And I did that specifically this week to give the Mac people a chance for their heads to explode when they have to make a choice between only on iTunes
you're
and
gonna get
the
quite
Macintosh.
A few, yeah.
13 votes for the Macintosh so far.
Well, there was.
Of course, most of our viewers believe music should be, our listeners believe music should be free.
Yeah, music should be free. Who's going to pay the musicians?
Well, yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Well,
having at one point made my life as a musician, I do not believe music should be free.
No.
I believe it should be free, but it's not. Get over it. Pay me.
There was an interesting argument when Apple really started selling music in Europe and UK. In Europe, it's 99 euro cents, but when you convert that into US dollars and to British pound sterling, 79 pence and 99 euro cents is way off. So a lot of people were complaining about them. My currency exchanger won't come up at the moment.
Wait, I just want to finish this off. When you get done voting, you'll find a little yellow box underneath the poll, which will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And you'll be able to give your opinion on things, which 11 of you have done so far. And then when you're done with that, take a look around at what's on Ask Nick, and then come back and join us in the forums on Soundbites. Go ahead.
The only place it should be free, though, is on the radio.
And it is.
Yeah.
So you get it free on the radio
every
day?
With those interesting economic dramas in between.
The little economic dramas. The little short economic dramas in between. Very important. Now we promised the Spam King thing.
We got to tell this.
We got to do this.
With the Olympics.
Oh, no, we don't.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
30 seconds.
With the Spam King. This gentleman who skied for was with Canada, but skied with Australia, won gold in the Olympics. Well, he is. They kind of kept it low key because he's also the king of spam, and infiltrating literally millions of people's computers with pop-ups and everything else. And he didn't want to be known, so his
right,
whole
he's
gold
trying
medal
to hide
thing.
That. Yeah, if you want to be not well known, don't win gold in the Olympics. Listen, I'm sorry, we're done for another week. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in. Those of you still on the line, got to call in earlier next week. We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, possibly Dan Cole, maybe Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. In the meantime, we've got the forums, we've got the email, we've got everything you'd want to get to, and we are the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Thanks for listening. On 1180 WHAM.